I'm Derek Thompson, longtime writer with The Atlantic magazine on tech, culture, and politics. There is a lot of noise out there, and my goal is to cut through the headlines, loud tweets, and hot takes in my new podcast, Plain English. I'll talk to some of the smartest people I know to give you clear viewpoints and memorable takeaways. Plain English starts November 16th. Listen for free on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Für alle ein Fest. Zum Aldi-Tiefpreis. Diese Woche Wintertraumplätzchen XXL. 600 Gramm für nur 2,79 Euro. Oder meine Metzgerei Hähnchen-Minutenschnitzel. 400 Gramm für nur 3,59 Euro. Entdecke viele weitere festliche Angebote. Jetzt bei Aldi Nord. Aldi. Gutes für alle.
We're also brought to you by FanDuel Sportsbook as well as the Ringer Podcast Network. If you didn't hear, we spun off every single album from the Ringer Dish Podcast. It now has its own feed, which you can find on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts. Nathan Hubbard, Nora Princiati, they reacted to the 30-song Taylor Swift album that dropped on Friday. Red, Taylor's version, includes a 10-minute drive-by shooting of Jake Gyllenhaal. Jake, are you all right? Jake, come back to us. Jake, wake up! Check that pod out. It's almost 2 hours. It's great. The two smartest Taylor Swift fans on the planet right now, breaking everything down, including a theory on why Taylor did that 10-minute song. I care about this stuff because I have a 16-year-old daughter and we talked about it in the car when we were driving to soccer yesterday. Anyway, every single album, find it. Don't forget about Plain English as well. That launches this week. You heard the trailer at the top of this podcast. But Derek Thompson, welcome to The Ringer. Very excited. He's got two pods this week. So there you go. We got new rewatchables coming on Monday. It's a Will Smith movie. That's all I'm going to tell you. Stay tuned for that. I'm also on the Prestige TV podcast. Joe House and I are going to do Curb Your Enthusiasm episodes 3 and 4. And that is going to be popping up on the Prestige pod on Monday. Lots of good stuff on that podcast this week, including a weekly Yellowstone thing, I think. I think that's happening as well. So there you go. Coming up, the Cuz and I are going to talk about the Patriots-Cowboys Super Bowl. Imminent. It's happening. Take a deep breath. It's going to happen. I keep telling myself this. And then talk week 11 lines and a whole bunch of other subplots. First, our friends from Pearl Jam. All right, taping this a little after 8 o'clock on Sunday night Pacific time. Got to start a little early today because the Chiefs decided to show up for the 2021 season. It took them 10 weeks. Here they are. I lost money, of course. Who have you lost more money on, the Chiefs or the Broncos this season?
It's close. The Bucs are climbing their way up there, too. And Texas Longhorns yesterday. Yeah, I don't know. It's equal opportunists. I've lost on every single team this year. But this... we threw dirt on this Chiefs team just a little early, it looks like. It was up for the takings, for scariest team in the league. They're like, no one's standing out. And they're like, let's just remind everybody who's the best. And what did they re-sign? Travis Kelce? Because I don't remember seeing that guy for like 2 months. The guy that came out there today. And they fake punts and everything else. And they're in first place again.
DeSean Jackson just giving the ball to the other team. That was happening. We had safeties dropping interceptions of the Raiders. Yeah. It was a weird game. The score didn't reflect the game.
Real quick, the DeSean Jackson thing. So he's made a career of this, right? Like he'll have a breakaway touchdown and he'll slow down at 3 and taunt receivers. Did he have like a tick, something in his head where he needs it more challenging? Why did he turn into the only guy he needed to beat? He was so much faster than everybody else. I don't know. Whatever.
Was that a 10-point game or a 13-point game when that happened? Because it did feel like they were going to go toe-to-toe for scores, and then all of a sudden the game
was 13.
Over.
That would have cut it to 6. I think that's what it was. Yeah.
Well, the big story, forget the Chiefs. We'll talk about them later. The big story, this was the weekend that a Cowboys-Patriots Super Bowl I started to really think about. What it would do for our friendship. How many seats we'd have to ask for because the game's in L.A. What would the pod be like before the game? What would the pod be like that night? Would we have to wait a couple hours until the loser cooled off?
Wow.
It really started to feel real today, Sal.
I think you're right. Someone pointed out to me, one of our friends pointed out, like, between you and Bill, this is the biggest point differential for wins you guys have had in the same day, right? like probably, what was it, like 70-point win combined?
Yeah.
And Cowboys win over the Falcons and your shellacking of the Browns. You guys look good. I mean, the Falcons are technically were a playoff team in the NFC before today, but you beat up on a pretty sturdy Browns team. Didn't look like it, but it looked like they were going to be physical with you. They took a 7-0 lead, and you never looked back after that. You scored.
We scored 45 straight. Your game was over in 2 minutes. It was 7-0, and Matt Ryan was doing the backpedal, look nervous thing, and then you just scored every time you had the ball. Our game, it looked like it was going to be a old school, maybe there's 10 possessions total in the game slugfest. And then the Browns, as soon as you get the lead on them, it's kind of over for them. With Baker with one arm, you're 21-7. You might as well be up 40-7 at that point.
Yeah. I don't know. Well, first of all, let's your guy, Mac and Cheat. I mean, just we never talked about the holding when he pulled the jersey. He should have been suspended 4 games. So I don't even know why they let him play today. But Mac and Cheat went out and just went nuts. 19 for 23, 198, 3 touchdowns. I don't know if Case Keenum is better than Baker. I definitely don't think they should re-sign him. I really don't. I think there's some nice options for the Browns out there. Could be Rodgers, could be Wilson, could be Jimmy G. I take all those guys plus the top two or three incoming draftees too.
Did you call Mac Jones Mac and Cheat? You called the offensive rookie of the year?
Yeah, Mac
the best pick in the draft. If we have a redraft, he goes either first or second, depending on how you feel about Trevor the Fumbler Lawrence.
Yeah.
You call him Mac and Cheat because he grabs somebody's ankle? People just hate the Patriots. If Fields had done that in the Bears-Steelers game, everybody was like, oh, great play, savvy. Oh, classic Bears. 85 Bears are back.
I agree.
Jones, it's like, cheater.
Yeah. Well, Mac and Cheat is too good to pass up. But I have to say, from your perspective,
I didn't like it.
This is the first time you have bragging rights over Tom Brady, right? First time Belichick has bragging rights. Like I know you probably won a game when they've lost a few weeks ago. New Orleans, I think you had won that game. But this is, right? This is like, we could go as far as that team in the playoffs. And to add to that, Tom Brady needed Belichick today. This is the kind of game, probably the first time he missed them, because with Belichick as coach, they don't lose that game coming off a bye, off a loss. They don't look as unprepared as they did going to Washington. Team had like 31st in the league defensively and lose Chase Young early on. That was a disgusting display.
Sal, much like Mark McGwire, I'm not here to talk about the past.
Oh.
I'm here to talk about the present and the future. And his name is Mac Jones. Mac Jones was unbelievable in that game today. Oh, my God. I watched with Kyle. Kyle can attest. I was letting out noises like Meg Ryan in the When Harry Met Sally deli. I was having a stroke. He was threading the needle. He's throwing like lob passes. He's hitting guys in double coverage, doing little play action. It really, really felt like early 2000s Pats, which is, I've been saying on this podcast for multiple weeks. And it's really one of the only things I've been right about the last month with football. But this Pat, coming out when they were 2-4, it still felt like it was a playoff team. They're good. They're well-rounded. They can run the ball. They can throw the ball. They have a pass rush. They don't get beat on big plays. They have a good special teams, although the punt returning today was bad. But it's a good team. They've won 4 straight. They have like a plus 98 point differential for the season. And you look around the AFC, it's like, who do I like? Do I like Tennessee? Tennessee's 8-2. Do they feel like an 8-2 team?
Well, that's the thing. So every team has at least 2 losses, right? Like I don't remember ever going this far where a team was either, we had at least 1 undefeated team or a 1 or 2 or 3 1-loss teams. Everybody's got 2 losses. We often talk about who's out of the, who we kicking out, who's, you know, who we cross off, you know, for playoff consideration. Let's do it the other way. How many teams can win the Super Bowl? I might put your Patriots in there. I don't even want to say it. I might put them in there. I think they could actually do it.
I emailed one of our guys at FanDuel because Dallas is plus 470 to win the NFC right now. The Pats have dropped to 13-1. They're 31-1 2 weeks ago. Combined, it's basically 780-1 if you put those two together.
Or 780?
I mean, 78-1. So you
78-1. Yeah.
You bet 100, you win 7,800.
Well,
I asked them. I was like, hey, FanDuel, boost that for us. Instead of 78-1, what about a little 100-1 for the Bill South Super Bowl?
I like that.
People can go bet on it on FanDuel, but they were like, hey, we need a day. That's a lot. That's a high thing. I'm like, well, you better figure it out because Dallas, New England is in play.
They should figure it out. In the meantime, we should bet it whenever they come out with it, whether they boost it or not, because we're going to be at each other's throats. That's going to be a very, very emotional.
It's going to be hard. That's going to be a hard couple of weeks for us, especially if we're both in the playoffs feeling like we might see each other.
The other thing is, how do we do a podcast after that? I'm not talking immediately after that, but maybe that's it. Right?
That's our final part. It's like Sopranos. We just said, don't stop believing.
It's my favorite time of the week, but I feel like, where do we go from there? And Pat's still plus 440 to win the East. How is that?
I couldn't believe that because we still play Buffalo twice.
Right.
You know, this Pats team, Belichick really likes them. And usually, especially during the Brady era, he was always kind of like tough dad when they would have a big win. Mm-hmm. He'd be like, oh, you know, we still got some work to do. And, you know, the Pats would win like 40-3. He'd be like, well, you know, there's some stuff out there I didn't really like. And just like constant wet blanket. I think he really likes this team. Go read the quotes and go watch the video. Not that you would, but after this game, when he's just like, that was awesome. We had so many guys make great plays. Great plays all around the ball. What a great team win. Like, really effusively positive, and he should have been, because they really beat the hell out of, I think, a decent Browns team, a team that has a pass rush, a team that was running the ball on them and then couldn't once they fell down 14. But, you know, has a good secondary.
Yeah. I couldn't give a crap what he has to say. I
Belichick,
like what he
coach
wears.
Of the year? Coach I of the like year for you?
Well, I've said that in the beginning of the year. I gave that out. The Chargers coach is like the number one all through.
Staley.
Like, yeah, that Staley, that's falling apart a little. I don't know what that is. You can count on that team. They are the Vikings of the AFC, I think, right now, and they lost to them. And
I would say it's Vrabel.
Everybody's looking up at the Chiefs. Yeah.
Vrabel and Belichick, I would say, would be the two right now. Because Tennessee being 8-2, they lose Henry. They had a COVID thing at the beginning of the year. Julio Jones has given them basically nothing except for like two games.
Well, I said it was Staley, but it was Kingsbury, I think, was favored going into this week with the one loss. But now it looks like they could sit. I mean, they could sit Kyler. They have a bye after this week, so they might just sit him again. And, you know, they have a good enough record that they're definitely going to make the playoffs.
Today featured the greatest regular season moment we've had since I've known Kyle. I've known Kyle his whole life, but since we've been hanging out watching Pats games, this Jacoby Myers not scoring a touchdown thing was like a real crazy streak. Yeah. He played his entire career, 39 games. He'd thrown a touchdown, somehow hadn't caught one. And it became like this weird subplot of the season of like, how is this possible? This guy's probably our best red zone person that we have other than the Hunter Henry. Mm-hmm. And he would catch one. It would be a flag down, called back, like all kinds of crazy stuff. And then he finally got one in garbage time. And the entire team ran off the sidelines to jump on him. It was like a game-winning touchdown because he's like this beloved teammate. And we were pumped because it was like, this is ridiculous. How is this guy not caught a touchdown yet? Like 200 guys a year catch touchdowns in the NFL, right? 250? Right. Yeah. I don't even know the number.
He had it coming for sure.
So the fact that the whole team, I don't want to sound corny, but the whole team runs down and it's just like, it's one of those teams. Like they really like each other. They pull for each other. And it really does remind me of the early 2000s.
You have like a Rudy moment. It was a Rudy moment.
Yeah, it was good.
Asshole coach. Doesn't put the guy in.
Oh, come on.
Yeah, well, that's how it was. Why don't you give the defense some credit? Hightower, Wise.
I love it.
All these guys. Van Noy. That was some effort. Yeah.
Dunder. Yeah, Phillips has been great. We have safeties that make plays. I really like this Pats team. And you go through, it's like Tennessee's 8-2. Mm-hmm. They seem vulnerable. Buffalo, we'll see. We'll see when they play. Baltimore 6-3. They lost on Thursday night to the fucking Dolphins. Mm-hmm. And then KC, you figure 6-4. Let's put them in. So Tennessee, Buffalo, New England, Baltimore, KC. We'll just put them in just to do it. You still need two playoff teams. Here's the rest of the list. Pittsburgh 5-3-1. Cincy 5-4. Vegas 5-4. Looks like they're collapsing. Chargers 5-4. They haven't looked good for 4 weeks.
Right.
Indy's 5-5 with Wentz. Denver's 5-5. Looked horrific today and kind of, I don't know what happened with Bridgewater on that, on the pivotal fumble thing, but that was one of the weirdest plays of the year.
Two gloves might need three gloves. I don't know what he was thinking there, not tackling, reaching out at all.
And Cleveland's 5-5. So we still need two playoff teams out of that list I mentioned. I don't like any of them.
Here's the interesting thing. Not only those tough divisions, AFC North and AFC West, and before that game tonight, no one in those divisions won a game this week, including going back to Thursday night. Not only do they have to play themselves within the division, they play each other. The AFC North plays the AFC West. So every week you're going to have a playoff game. Like Cincinnati plays Vegas next week. Like every week there's going to be a playoff game or two interdivision between those two. So Patriots don't have to worry about that. You did play the Jets twice already and the Texans, but you have the AFC South and you have some other games winnable for sure. You're making the playoffs. I don't think it's a question at this point.
Well, we got the Falcons on Thursday, which we'll talk about when we do Guess the Lines.
Yeah.
Tough week to catch the Falcons coming off a disastrous loss.
Yeah.
Figure they're not going to be that bad 2 weeks in a row. Then they have the Titans week 12. Perfect timing to catch them.
Yeah.
At Bills Monday night bye week. The week 14 bye. It's ridiculous. Wow. Then they go at Colts, home Bills, home Jags, at Dolphins. And I think 11-6 seems reasonable for that thing. And can Buffalo still has at the Saints a week from now, two against the Pats. They're at Tampa. They got a Jets one. So who knows? We'll see. Your team answered some questions that I think they needed a game like that. I guess that we're just going to have games this year that we just throw out and decide never to talk about again. Last week, you literally couldn't throw the ball against Denver. Right. This week, Jalen Hurts, all he did was throw the ball against Denver and pick them apart. And you have a better quarterback and better receivers and couldn't move the ball.
I haven't seen it really where a team is so good on the road. And we saw Bridgewater's record against the spread and as an underdog, as a road underdog and everything. They went out there and they kicked the crap out of Dallas. They went in 30-0 going into the fourth quarter, but I was worried, Simmons. I really was. I was like, oh man, we might regress back to what I'm used to. Lose to Denver, lose a dumb game to Atlanta. Then we have to go to Kansas City the next week and then the Thanksgiving game, which is always a riot. So, but no, we stepped up. The defense was great. Dak is back. I think Dan Quinn wanted to send a message to the Falcons. He's like, we're going to take over.
Sure seemed like
today.
It. Yeah.
Yeah, and it was it's nice when you don't have to worry about it, and now I don't have to worry about them beating the Chiefs. It's all gravy.
Yeah, that game was off one of the four TVs in my house. Like
that was it.
2 minutes into the second quarter, it's like okay, we've seen enough here. So you got Green Bay at 8-2 and Dallas at 7-2, Arizona at 8-2 but falling because all their best skill guys are hurt. Rams 7-2 just lost Woods, and then Tampa 6-3, and we should talk about them in a second. So I have five playoff teams I like. And then it gets weird again, where it's like the Saints 5-4 with Trevor Siemian.
The NFC.
Carolina's 5-5. Like they might actually play Cam.
Right.
Minnesota, which I think is a 4-5. They could easily be 6-3. Atlanta, cross them off. Philly, who knows? Because they
don't
play
sleep
NFC.
On the Eagles.
Yeah, don't sleep on the Eagles.
I think the Eagles are okay. Like out of that bunch, like Eagles, Falcons, if one of them has to get the 7th seed, like the Eagles are running the ball. They have like 680 yards rushing the last four games or something crazy.
Yeah, as soon as Miles Sanders, who's on two of my teams, went out, they decided to run the ball. Yeah, there's some good offensive stats with the Eagles the last 3 weeks. Even Seattle at 3-6. Mm-hmm. Their defense at least has come around. Now they have to figure out if they can get Wilson healthy. But
yeah, that was disappointing. Take it easy with the videos, Russell, about 18 hours a day. Like you got shut out. How was he not? He practiced at least this week. Like Rodgers didn't even practice. They both looked like crap in the first half. But
that was a truly awful game.
Yeah,
I think 8-9 is in play for a 7-seed wild card in the NFC.
Agreed. I agree.
I think most people think, it'll be 9-8 or 10-7. I honestly think 8-9 could get there. If you look at it now, Carolina would be the 7th seed at 5-5. They could easily finish 8-9. And like the Niners tomorrow night, if I'm the Niners, I'm like, we beat the Rams tomorrow. We're good. Like, let's go. Let's make it happen. The most important thing here, we might be able to bet against Cam Newton in a playoff game. I don't want to jinx it. But if they could sneak into a 7-seed, get a 2-seed, play Green Bay, Dallas, something like that. But I think out of all those teams, I think your team's probably in the best shape because you have an easy schedule the rest of the way, right?
Yeah,
still have a bunch of NFC East games left.
I mean, we have two against Washington and one against the Giants. Now, Washington looked good. I mean, maybe the NFC East is back from what we saw, you know, with the Washington beating Tampa and Philadelphia. Well, they're not
Chase Young's out for the year.
Yeah, but they're not going to lay down these teams just yet. Well, you might have counted the Giants to just like pack it in week 12, but I think we're going to see some competitive games out of them. But I'm not as worried as I probably should be with the Cowboys.
All right, we're going to take a break and we're going to talk about Tom Brady in a game called
Killer.
What's Wrong? What's Wrong? Here we go. All right, coming back, we're going to play a game called What's Wrong With ... And we'll start with Tom Brady. So the game they lost today against Washington, I'd be fine with. It's like, all right, they, you know, it's 17 game season. Every team's going to have a couple of these, but they had one last week.
Yeah.
Or 2 weeks ago against the Saints, whenever. Yeah. And it's like, you already had this game. You can't have this game now two times in a row. Washington's not very good. Heinicke was picking them apart, driving the ball. They gave up a 19 play drive with 11 minutes left to basically lose the game. And Brady looked like he was 44 years old. And people are like, well, he didn't have Antonio Brown and have Gronk. It's like, all right, so Brady can only look good if he has this entire fleet of awesome weapons. Otherwise, he's going to look like he's 44. He was pissed after the game. He gave a very terse press conference.
Right.
I have not liked what I've seen from him the last 2 weeks. And I don't know if it's an aberration or something more.
Well, I mean, do you ask simply what's wrong with him? He's 44 years old. He shouldn't be in the league. That's it. He shouldn't be playing football. He should be doing something else at this point. When we're 44, we wouldn't even dream of it, right? I don't know. I watched that game. I watched every single play. I was at my kids' Little League game, but that was the one I was focused on, that and the Cowboys. And it was 3-yard checkdowns all the way through for the first half. He got ripped off. That wasn't an intercept. First interception, that was a catch, and he turned, and it was a fumble, but they call it an interception. But he really almost had three. They had one that basically hit the ground. I don't know what's wrong with him. I have nothing else to say other than what you said. They shouldn't have to have everybody in for him to excel, you know, right? Even with the Edwins and Godwin and Brate, that's still just as good or better than anybody else has receiving wise. But yeah, very conservative. Again, they didn't have him ready. Like, I didn't think that team looked ready at all on either side of the ball. You said it, Heinicke picked them apart. That's one thing that Belichick would have done. He would have had them ready after loss against a team who's trying to beat you. They're
coming
lost
up
in the
a
playoffs.
Bye. Yeah.
Come up by, they beat, you know, you got beat them in the playoffs 24-16. Of course, there's going to be some smoke there. They were terrible.
They lost Vita Vader in the game, which maybe didn't help the run deep. But, you know, I think the answer lies when they show Bruce Arians on the sidelines and it looks like he forgot to put sunscreen on when he played the second 18 when he was playing 36 yesterday.
Right.
It looks like he's putting in 6-hour days.
Oh, interesting.
He's got this weird skin color of just a guy who's playing golf every day. And that team was so sloppy and so disgustingly all over the map in that game. Washington's not good. Like Gibson, McKissick, and McLaurin, who made the key catch over the middle where he got absolutely annihilated and held on the ball. Those guys seem tougher than everyone on the Bucks today.
Yeah, they did. You know, that's a great, great thing you stumbled onto there. We should see coaches coming off a bye, what their complexion is like, because you're right. It's been warmer out normally than normal. If they have, I want to see like a weigh-ins, like a Friday before a game. I want to see if you have that sunburn, if you have that, you know, Trump rally sunburn, maybe you weren't taking in 15 hours.
Yeah. Has Belichick ever looked that sunburned on the sidelines ever? No.
No.
He's in a freaking cave. Look, he's wearing a hoodie. He's got a cave.
Yeah.
So my thing with Brady is what I said. If this is just he needs all his weapons, I don't think that's a great sign for them as a Super Bowl team. I thought he could have carried them one of these games. His MVP thing it's not sailed away because nobody has grabbed the MVP, but I think he could have grabbed it by the balls the last 2 weeks and it went the other way, right?
He definitely could have. Yeah. And it as well. So it's going to be Josh Allen, right? He threw a ton of touchdowns today.
Josh Allen, who scored 6 points against the Jaguars.
He didn't lose the first place. He was still the top odds guy. So he's got to stay there. Is there a chance Mahomes could jump back in it if he throws like 5 touchdowns a game?
It's not inconceivable. If they went on some crazy run and you think like, I don't know, they win 5 in a row and he throws for 20 touchdowns and 2,800 yards or something.
It'll be a quarterback. It's not going to be Rodgers. I don't think he's going to get enough votes. So Josh Allen could be Mahomes.
Mark Mosley. Could be a Mark Mosley. Mosley wins the MVP.
Derrick Henry's out. So, you know, it could be somebody like that.
All right. Another one for what's wrong with .. Russell Wilson. I thought his finger was healthy. It looked like he'd never played football before. So if he wasn't healthy, why did they play him? And if he was healthy, really bad sign. I don't think the Packers defense is good. It's not that good. He's 32 years old. And this is the first time today watching that game thinking, this might be his last Seahawks season. He's going to be 33 next year. I think he's worth a lot more to another team. The Seattle's already won a Super Bowl with him. And you look like if the order was set today, the Giants would have the 6th and 7th picks because they got the 7th pick from that Fields trade. The Jets would have the 3rd and 10th picks. And the Eagles would have 5, 10, and 15. So if there was ever a year to trade your franchise QB and reboot and rebuild, there's three teams that need QBs. Well, two, I guess Zach Wilson, but maybe Zach Wilson's in the trade. Maybe it's Zach Wilson and the third pick for Russell Wilson. I think he could play till he's 40.
Just keep trading the Wilsons. Yeah, I'm with you. I mentioned the Browns in that. You know,
Browns are another. They don't have the picks though.
Well, there's gonna be the. I know, but there's gonna be. He's 32. Who knows what you get for Russell Wilson? I don't know. There were times he had good field awareness, like he slipped up a rush and like ran for 13 yards, and he was way off sailing the ball, and like even Romo's like, all right, he's back in the second half, and he's like, oh, he's backish. He's not quite back because he was throwing it. But all I know is he came out with that Instagram post and he says it's time. It's like as if he was like, it's like you've been gone like 3.5 weeks, like you're
right
fighting in a war in
Fallujah. It's like Jordan coming back from baseball. Yeah,
take it easy. But I'm an idiot. I bought I'm into back. It. I took him plus 3.5 points, or I bought it up to 3.5, it was so stupid. Packers, all they do is give people money if you bet them, and they did it again. I think they're 8-1 against the spread. That was disgusting too.
Well, the Seahawks fans don't like this team, but they're the only ones allowed to criticize the team at this point.
Pete Carroll with that flip phone was terrific. Yeah, imagine looking through all your shit to find a red challenge flag, and he found this.
What
flip
did he throw?
Phone.
He threw his flip throw phone. Glove.
His flip. He actually had a flip phone. Look at it; it's crazy. We saw scissors on the field and a flip phone. It's not your regular football week.
What's wrong with Herbert and the Chargers? Because I don't know what happened. Keenan Allen was open all the time in the first 3 weeks. Doesn't seem like he's open anymore. Mike Williams, it's like he was hit by a car. And then Eckler, who it seems like they're preserving for the playoffs, but they might not make the playoffs. They don't use him enough. And then Herbert has like 2-3 just terrible throws a game. Defensively, you can run on him. I don't know. Kyle asked today, is like Bosa, is he healthy? I don't know. Haven't heard Bosa's name a ton.
Right.
And I don't think that team's, I don't want to say they're a cross off, but I don't think that's a contender.
You could definitely run on him. That wasn't really the problem today. I mean, he was 20 for 34, 195 with a touchdown and an interception. And that's, we've been saying all like, he's great. Look how great he is. I was like, whoa, maybe we should step back a little bit. He's had some not so great games. Isn't all the defense's fault if feels like he stalled.
There's some sophomore jinx stuff with this.
A little bit. I don't know exactly what's wrong with him. I wouldn't recommend seeing the team doctor under any circumstances, though.
Hey, Doc, can I get a shot?
Sorry.
What's wrong with the White Lotus, Mike White? I'm going to say what's wrong with Mike White is he crashed back to earth. And there's been some broken bones. It was fun. It was a fun 2-week thing while it lasted for Mike White.
Right. It's like what we talk about with Beanie Babies. Like, well, why aren't they worth anything anymore? It's like, well, they never should have been worth anything. What? Yeah. What's up? What's wrong? We get the Jeremy Lin. Jeremy Lin was.
The Jeremy Lin lasted longer than Mike White.
That was 3 weeks. What was it?
Yeah. No, yeah. Jeremy Wynn was like 4 weeks.
Was it four?
Yeah, because there was an all-star break. We got to talk about it. Some think pieces.
Right. Yeah, poor Mike White.
Poor Mike White. So now it makes it easier for Saleh. He could bring in Wilson last week. Baker Mayfield. We know part of what's wrong with him. He's playing with one arm. He's been hurt every year. And when you start talking about, is this guy worth the $30 million a year extension, $40 million? They don't have to do anything. They could just do $18 million in year five.
Yeah, but then there's going to be talk about it the whole time. The whole year they'll be talking about it. I'll tell you what, he's making it easier on them every week. He's making it easy, Brown's decision. I don't know who I was talking to about it, but Daniel Jones or Baker Mayfield at this point?
Like, I think Daniel Jones.
Yeah.
Let's play more. Give me some more QBs.
Carson Wentz. It's close, right?
Like, yeah, it's close.
Like Carson Wentz might be good with the Browns. I don't know.
Trevor Siemian?
I put Baker at the bottom there. I really do. I wouldn't give him that money. Like Kirk Cousins at least proved himself a little. They're kind of in the same, you know, like little like zone there. But
I think he might be the worst NFL player who ever got this many commercials.
Oh,
like they were showing, we were killing them today. And it's like, let's take a break. And it's like Baker Mayfield for Progressive.
Interesting.
And it's
right.
Like, how does he have commercials? Like Lamar Jackson must be like, what the fuck?
Right.
Where
am I?
I'm 100 times better than this guy.
But yeah, absolutely.
I was trying to think who's less of an impactful guy who got multiple commercials?
Like I can't even sponsors. Think. It's not even close, right? Who else?
He's like not even one of the like the 15 best quarterbacks in the league.
Yeah, so who gets him? Brady gets a ton. Dak gets
Rodgers,
a bunch.
Wilson
yeah,
no, got
these guys
some.
Are all good. These guys are all Gardner Minshew. No.
Gardner. I honestly, I would rather have Gardner Minshew than Let's Baker see. With one arm at this point. But I think they made a big mistake not playing Keenum. I thought he could have come in a lot sooner because and Baker finally made it easier.
Well, they weren't winning that game. It didn't matter. But I don't love Baker. I know some. There are some diehard fans that are going to kill us on Twitter tomorrow. But I don't. I've been.
What are they
forever.
Killing us for? There's no track record of sustained success with him in the NFL. Gets hurt every year. Balls get tipped the line of scrimmage all the time. He just had his superstar receiver that they traded for just basically tanked his way out of town to get away from him. Like, what am I missing?
I don't know. Like once in a while, you'll see a week like last week where, okay, he threw a 60-yard touchdown pass to Peoples Jones, but they also had a 90-yard interception return, and then they had a special teams return for a touchdown or something. So I don't know. For the most part, he needs to make two big throws a game. And from what I see, he can't do it.
I think if he has a lead, he's a different guy, but there's a lot of guys in the league you can say that about. Like, all right, like Teddy Bridgewater's like that. If you give Teddy Bridgewater a 10-point lead and you can do some play action and some quick accuracy stuff, he's great. I don't get it. I don't see it. I don't know why he has the commercials. One more. What's wrong with .. What's wrong with DirecTV?
Did they not have?
How are they this bad? I don't know how much longer they have to be in our life. I assume Amazon is just going to get the rights from them at some point. But how do they mess this up? Yeah, the Pats are the national game, I guess. So in LA, now people say, it's your fault. Why'd you move to LA? If you lived in New England, you get the Pats game. It's like, well, I should be able to live anywhere and get the Pats game. Yeah. I'm paying $350 a year for the fucking package.
It's like 80 degrees outside if they really need an answer.
Yeah, say it was 88 this weekend. Yeah that was another reason. Yeah. So the Pats go up. All of a sudden, they're like, we are now switching to Titans Saints.
Oh, they actually did that.
They switched
it. Showed it. Yeah.
So we had it on CBS. All of a sudden, it's Titans Saints. It's like, all right, cool. I'll go to the DirecTV 7:06. Nope. 15 minutes passed. We missed like half of the fourth quarter.
Wait a minute. So, but
it was
on
no channel. No, it was on zero channel.
It wasn't in 7:01 with the 8 box.
No. So eventually, we figured, oh, we got to go to the 8 box, and it was on 7:01, and it had four things, and it's like,
right.
What the fuck? Just
that sucks,
reactivate 7:06. And obviously they have nobody that works on the weekends.
Right.
But I don't know how hard this is. It's like we're switching the games. Call the person at DirecTV. They flip a switch and it begins 7:06 becomes available. So we almost missed Jacoby Myers touchdown. I would have been really mad. It's like the highlight of the Pats season.
If you didn't see it, it doesn't count.
DirecTV, they just can't stay out of their own way.
I don't know what's wrong with them.
Like, what is DirecTV Stream? I'd have to pay more for DirecTV Stream when I'm already paying for DirecTV.
Wait a minute, what is that?
DirecTV? DirecTV Stream is like a different version of DirecTV. It's like, wait, call that different then.
Oh, man.
Yeah, man.
And
I'm
you would have
gotten in trouble.
You would have gotten that game? No. Maybe they should just leave it up to us. They once, or for a couple weeks, they gave us. Remember we got to program which were the four in the 4 box and stuff? Like I don't think they care anymore.
They definitely don't care.
Mm.
With
just trying to piss you
like
off.
Like Celtic games, sometimes it'll be like, nope, you're getting the Cavs announcers, like yesterday.
Wow.
Celtics lose to the Cavs. I got Austin Carr, who I actually like Austin Carr, but it's like, where are my announcers? Can I have my announcers? Nope. Can't.
I think your announcers left.
Last what's wrong with. We actually have an answer for this. Steelers Lions. The funniest game of the year.
Yeah.
A preordained tie. I think they should have just told us before the game this is going to end up as a tie. It was 16-16 final. You know how I have on rewatchables, I have Apex Mountain?
Yeah, yeah.
This was Nadir Canyon. Goff versus Rudolph. I think this is the worst quarterback battle you could have. They 75 passes between them for 356 yards total.
Yeah.
Which is 75. It's like less than 5 yards an attempt.
Well, they couldn't manage 180, either of them, I don't think, in five quarters.
Rudolph, finally, I think Roethlisberger's like, hey, here's what I do. Just throw it up for grabs downfield. You might get a pass interference.
Right.
Receiver might make a catch, but that's good. Just like lob it up. It'll seem like you're doing it intentionally. There was one moment in overtime. Detroit had 3rd and 23. And it was incompletion, but there's a holding. And normally it'd be like, all right, 3rd and 23, decline. So you punt it to us.
Punt it, yeah.
We were arguing like, I'm accepting the holding. Let's go third and 33. We have a better chance to score with Goff than we do with our own offense. I actually genuinely think they should have accepted the holding.
Well, and we didn't think, we were talking about who, you win the coin toss, do you accept, do you take the ball or do you kick?
Oh, I think they should have absolutely kicked.
Yeah, that was a mistake too.
Yeah, because you could do more damage with the ball if you're Goff. Because he was like, I have no idea how he, I think he only had one pick.
Mm-hmm.
It felt like he should have had 17.
Yeah, he threw a bunch up.
It was raining. There was at least 45 drop picks. They kept cutting into the sad Steeler fans covered in plastic, rain pouring on them. Easily it was the worst game of the year.
You know, I know the weather and the elements were a factor, but I don't remember two quarterbacks like not dealing with it, dealing with it as poorly as they did. Right? Like
it was just so bad.
They weren't moving the ball at all. Steelers very lucky to get a win and a tie out of the last 6 days. I mean, that game against the Bears, we never got to talk about it, but the five worst calls of the year were in that game and went against the Bears. And then they play the Lions. Now, granted, they lost their starting quarterback, but to tie that game, they're lucky. They gained on everybody else in the division.
I know everybody's complaining about the taunting, but I just don't understand. We can't taunt, but the entire defense can run 50 yards to the end zone to do like some sort of Cobra Kai pose.
Oh yeah, it's like a bowling tournament in the end zone, like 70 yards away. Yeah,
I don't. How do you have both of those things at the same time? No taunting, but this can happen.
Right.
This league
it's proximity,
mess.
I guess. I guess you could run home and have a party on Zoom or something. But if you're right in the guy's face, I don't. You know, we've talked about it enough. It's disgusting.
What a mess. Last thing for you before we go to guest lines. Mm. So the home teams heading into this week were 66 and 70.
Bad, yeah.
Not against the spread, just to win. They were under 500. Home teams were under 500 just to win. When we were growing up, what was it? 75, 80% home teams won? Something crazy like
seemed
that.
Seemed like it, yeah.
This week, they were 7-5.
Right.
I read a couple stories about this. One was that the old thing that we always say where home team gets 3 points is now Vegas has basically decided that's 1 point.
Wow.
And they,
is that right?
And that's why I think I've been off this year. That's the only reason I think you're doing okay against me this year. I'm using the old rules. The 3 point goes to the home team.
No, it's still three. It's still two or two and a half.
I don't think it is.
It's like, well, I'll say this. We looked at the lines this week, right? It's like, what? Minnesota only getting 2.5 to the Chargers? What? The Eagles only getting 2.5 to Denver? It looked weird. By the way, that Saints line, I know like Vegas is famous for magicians and stuff. What kind of magic did they pull with the Saints? Like, that's a one-man offense, Alvin Kamara. This is not 3 years ago where they had Breeze and Kamara and Michael Thomas. Okay, they still had those two if Kamara's out. No, you got Trevor Siemian and nobody else with Alvin Kamara, and they wouldn't move that line to 3. It stayed at 2.5, and it was almost like, don't worry about it, Sal. We got this. We're going to figure out how to screw over the bettors, like whoever takes Tennessee. It's like, oh, yeah, they're down 2. There's no way they're making a 2-point conversion, and let's make sure of it. We'll put them back 5 yards for a legal motion. And then the Titans win by 2. Like, perfect. Vegas, FanDuel, you got it. You figured it out.
It was the fishiest line of the year. I stayed away. It was so fishy. I think that's the only time I've done it this year. I was like, that line is just insane. How is Tennessee not favored by 3.5, 4.5? I don't, something more than
but
what you're giving us.
But why doesn't it have? That I need to explain to me. Because Davante Adams moved, when he was out a few weeks ago, that moved 2.5 points, right? Kamara's worth so much more to, at least as much to the Saints as Adams is to the Packers.
Well, so it was, they were driving for a touchdown and ended up getting a field goal.
Mm-hmm.
And they were down 8. And I just started laughing.
Yeah.
Because I was like, oh my God. So, of course, Tennessee quickly gives them the ball back.
How do they
go
know?
Down. Now
How
they're do down they 2. They're covering. And it's like, of course, they're not going to get this 2-point.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's been, this has been a good year for, are we sure they're not fixing the games?
I don't like to say that
Bear,
out loud.
That Bears-Steelers game was the fishiest game I've watched in a long time. Where that was just like, if a game was fixed, this is what it would look like. Just
what was the other line
calls.
You said to me in Hanchin House this morning? You're like, how is this line not moving? It wasn't the Saints. It was something. It was another one. Somebody was out. And you're like, why hasn't this moved?
No, it's Kamara.
No. Oh, then I brought that up. But then you said, oh, with Chubb maybe being out? No, I don't know who it was.
The Pats one. The Kamara one was the one I was the most confused guy. Because he's their entire offense.
Right.
Yeah, that was really weird. So I don't know what's going on with any of this stuff. And I gotta say, I'm not getting crushed, but I'm not doing well. I can't get hot. I can't I'm have terrible. A week where it's just like everything happens. And then you think like, look, the old standby of grabbing the -10, -9 team, grabbing the money line, putting them with something else. 3 weeks in a row. This week it was the Bucks just destroying everybody. Like, I can't rely on the Bucks to not play two stinkers in a row. They have one of the four most talented teams.
I hate to say it, but people listen to us. They know how we gamble, right? And we're going to guess the lines. We're going to go, oh, make that a teaser. Take six off of that. And no one's going to feel bad for us. But we should be up $100,000 going into week 10 because the 7-point favorites are better. We're 27-0 before, like you said, 3 weeks ago, before the Bengals lost to the Jets.
We should have made so much money.
And then all these other Jaguars beat the Bills and all this other bullshit. Cowboys lose to Denver.
Bengals,
today.
That was another fishy game.
Yeah.
And then, same helmet to helmet that I watch every game for 10 hours and that time they called it. That's awesome. All right, we're going to take a break. Do guest lines.
Die Kamera habe ich bei eBay gefunden. Refurbished. Liegt so gut in der Hand. Der Sensor Wahnsinn. Und das Objektiv wie neu. Und Schatz, weißt du, wie viel ich gespart habe?
Machst du jetzt ein Foto oder nicht? Finden, was passt. Zu dir und zu deinem Budget. Das muss eBay sein. eBay. Things people love.
All right, before we do guess the lines, do you want to have a moment of silence for Jake Gyllenhaal, who's just completely destroyed out of nowhere by Taylor Swift? 10-minute song.
Oh, I don't see you're into this more than I am. What happened?
You don't
what
have daughters. That's not fair. You don't have a daughter. Forget it. I'm not going to talk. You stink. Plus, if you're ready for Jimmy's show, you would have a better awareness.
That's true.
It's a huge loophole. You're missing out on a lot of bad pop culture.
I'm sorry. Oh, well, what happened? She crushed them?
She released 30 songs. Mm-hmm. Nathan and Nora broke it down on our Every Single Album pod. They're like the me and you of Taylor Swift.
Right.
But the last song was this redo of this song. I think it's called All I Want.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what's the song called, Kyle? This is bad. I'm gonna
all
get in
I want
now.
Is to be done with this topic. That's all I want. Yeah.
Hold on. Sissy, now I want to know what this is called. I thought it was called All I Want. She played it on SNL yesterday for 10 minutes. Yeah, I think it was, I got it. All Too Well.
All Too Well. All right.
So she turned it into basically Stairway to Heaven. And it's just about how upset she was about this mystery boyfriend who she dated when she was 19 and he was 30. And just darts left and right. But everybody thinks it's about Jake Gyllenhaal and there's all these clues. So poor Jake Gyllenhaal just sitting at home enjoying a glass of wine on a Friday. And then all of a sudden, a drive-by shooting, 10-minute song from this girl he dated a million years ago.
Don't you know it's a matter of time? Oh, you think he thought he was in the clear because it was so long ago?
Yeah, it's just like, all right. Yeah, man, you know, maybe the relationship didn't work out that great, but I think they dated like 4 months. Anyway, people are saying it's her finest moment. She goes on SNL, crushes it. I'm just trying to round you, Sal. I'm trying to make you whole.
Kyle's not even recording anymore. I don't know.
Kyle just quit. Anyway, you can listen to the Every Single Album pod. All right, guess the lines. Week 11, Thursday night. Complicated night for me because we have the premiere of the Music Box series on HBO. Oh. We have Jagged about Alanis Morissette premiering 8:00 on HBO, head to head against my beloved Patriots. And then I also have to be at a dinner with you because we're going out to dinner with our cousin.
That's why you tried to move that night.
And it might have been one of the reasons. But it's fine because the doc will come on early. But yeah, it's a complicated night. But I want to see our cousin. Yeah.
It'll be fun. You know what? I'm gonna have to pick the. You know, I've been on a horrid streak now on Thursday Night Football. I've lost 4 in a row. I'm gonna have to pick your Patriots.
Blame yourself.
I got too damn cocky. That's the problem.
It was basically you were Tony Montana buying the tiger cage halfway through Scarface, showing people, hey, look at the tiger I bought this. And sorry,
I've never seen Scarface. I only listen to Taylor Swift. Sorry. Not your guy.
Pats at Atlanta. The rematch. I think this might be the first time we've played them since 28-3. But now Atlanta's, you know, the Braves won a World Series. They've kind of shed some baggage a little bit. I have the Pats favored by 3.5 in Atlanta.
Oh, wow. I said 5, and it's 5.5.
5.5.
Yeah, you're going to beat me this week, though. I'm way off on a lot of these, but Yeah, yeah. You can't. I mean, you're a defensive force now who scores at least 24 points a game. What can you say about Atlanta?
Here's some lyrics from All Too Well. Because there we are again in the middle of the night. We're dancing around the kitchen, the refrigerator light. Down the stairs, I was there. I remember it all too well. Some emotional stuff, Sal.
I got to tell you, I don't think this is a case, but imagine if Jake Gyllenhaal just was like, I got to get away from this Taylor Swift thing. You know what? I'll listen to Simmons and Sal and guess the lines. Like, I know they won't bring it up. Like, and here we are. We give it 10 minutes worth of nonsense.
Wind in My Hair, You Were There, You Remember It All. It's a great song. It's really good. Zoe and I listened to it in the car yesterday. We were both like, wow, this is some of Taylor's best work. Sunday marquee game. Let's go to your team. The Cowboys of Dallas.
Mm-hmm.
Playing Kansas City. Interesting. I initially had picked Cowboy. I did the Lions this afternoon. I picked Cowboys by 3 in Kansas City. But then after that Chiefs performance, I had to nudge it. So now I got Cowboys by 1.5. I still think you're favored.
Oh, wow. Well, I thought the Chiefs would have to be favored by 3. Whether they lost tonight or not, it was going to be a must win for them. Otherwise, they're at home and they're the Chiefs. I said Chiefs by 3. It's Chiefs by 2. So I get that one.
I just disagree with that line.
Who knows what to expect? I think they're back. I think they're backish. They're backish. Premiering on ABC Friday.
I want to figure out, I'm going to go back. I'm going to do it this week. I'm just going to go back and figure out all these teams after like their worst game of the year and their best game of the year. Like what? It just seems like it zigzags.
Oh, yeah. You used to do that. Didn't you?
Yeah, I used to do that. I stopped doing it this year.
Yeah, I don't know. Just everything went right. First of all, do they have a running game, right? Deron Williams, is that their thing now? Now they could sit on leads if they have a running game. That's Sorensen was terrible at an interception. Like everything that needed to go right was great. Mahomes was connecting on, like I said, Travis Kelce, a version of him we hadn't seen in like 7 weeks.
Plus, it seems like Carr, like the spirit left his body at some point in the first quarter of that game.
Yeah, maybe.
He has those games where you just kind of immediately know with him it's not there.
Mm-hmm.
The watchables. Looks like we have 4. I'm making this a watchables. Bills, Colts.
Okay.
I think it's a game I want to watch carefully and figure out how I feel about each of these teams because both of them might end up being in the playoffs. I don't like Carson Wentz at all. I want to tease the Bills. I think it will be in tease range. I have Bills by 8.
All right. I said 6.5 and it's 7. So I get that, right? I'll take
You're
that.
You're killing me this week.
You want to, you say tease range, but I don't trust it.
You don't trust the Bills.
I don't trust the Colts. I think they could play with anybody. I know they almost let down against the Jags today, but it's hard to get up for that game. I think Jonathan Taylor's the best fantasy player you could have right now. I think they play defense. I don't know. They're a dumb team. They should be like, they could be like 8-2, 5-5.
Now you mail back my things and I walk home alone. Keep my old scarf from that very first week because it reminds you of innocence and it smells like me.
Right.
You can't get rid of it because you remember it all too well.
Can you tell?
Just tough week for Jake. Wow.
Kyle, if you need to make a tourniquet, this is what you do. You take, as I see your wrist is really, you know, I don't want you to bleed out.
Ravens are at the Bears. And for some reason, I think this is a watchable because I like watching both of these quarterbacks. I enjoy Lamar Jackson. I enjoy Justin Fields. I plan on enjoying this game. I think the Ravens are going to be favored by 4.5 in Chicago. What do you have?
All right. I got it. Well, maybe I will win this week. I said 5.5. It's 6.5.
No, I'm not teasing the Ravens.
I don't know. Well, they'll have 10 days, but the Bears had 2 weeks, right? Did that Thursday game feel like one of the first ones where both of these teams are on 3 days rest. Like, I feel like we avoided that most of the Thursday games, but for sure. And Harbaugh said, like, yeah, we weren't prepared. Like, yeah, that's exactly what it looked like. Nobody.
My best decision of the year was not betting any Thursday games.
Smart.
I was walking around LA and I was listening to Ringer NFL show and Mallory and Nora do the Thursday show and they were doing their midseason awards. And Mallory had a 4-minute monologue about why Lamar Jackson was the MVP with these stats. And it was good. And like an hour later, they were destroyed against Miami. And the podcast had just been up and he lost the MVP 2 hours later.
I was
later.
Looking at his numbers too. I was supportive of her. Not that he should be in the first position, but he shouldn't have been 8th. Like fourth quarter comebacks should count for something. He had 3 huge ones, you know? And the stats he has would have been good 5 years ago to win MVP. But I get it. Yeah. After Thursday, everything's
they should just ask Vegas. They should just say, hey, if this person leaves the game, how many points does the line move? Like Rodgers moved the line 7+ points and it probably should have been more. And just ask Vegas, like who would be the leader for the most the points would move?
That's a good point.
Who do you think that would be?
Well, I think they said it was Rodgers and Brady, right? And Mahomes. Those three were either 6, 6.5, or 7 right in there. When I heard Big Ben was out, they said, well, the line moved 1.5. I wasn't sure which way, but I guess we figured out why.
That was such a tough beat. It's like,
yeah,
Ben, you're out. You've been replaced by Mason Rudolph, and the line is going to move half of a field goal.
Right.
And Mason Rudolph is the 52nd best quarterback in the league. 57th.
There was a time Ben would have moved at 5, 5.5 though, right? 6.
There was a time Jake Gyllenhaal and Taylor Swift were in love.
Oh my God. We got to get
those times,
this.
Those things, the past is the past. Packers, Vikings in Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
Minnesota is just, you keep wanting to cross them off. You keep wanting to just get rid of them, put them in a box and shove them in the attic. And then they come crawling back out again. They're like, hey guys.
Yeah.
We got some Justin Jefferson gets open whenever he wants. And we have kind of a pass rush and we can do some stuff. And we've been in these games and they're not going to be favored.
You don't want them when they're favored at home, right?
Like you want them in Dallas, this situation. Yeah.
You want them. You want them here or what you went through today with them getting 3, 3.5 somewhere.
Perfect.
In there. Yeah.
I have the Packers favored by 3 over the Vikings, and I think it's a great spot for the Vikes.
Congratulations, you're on the board. I said 4, and it's 2.5.
Mm.
Again, 2.5. Green Bay, all they do is cash. I think they're, what are they 9-1 against the spread? Are they 8-2?
They couldn't have covered the Jordan Love game. Oh, they did.
Yeah, they covered
They covered
that.
The Jordan Love game, though he got sacked 100 times.
Right.
Last watchable, I think it has to be included because I think the Eagles are officially worth monitoring where the run game is all of a sudden they have one. Smith is fantastic and him versus Surtain today was awesome. And he just made a couple of crazy, crazy, crazy catches in traffic.
Right.
So with all that said, I still think they're not going to be favored.
There's not a most improved player, is there? There's comeback player of the year. Like NBA has most improved, but don't have it
for NFL.
NFL has comeback, but not most improved. Jalen Hurts is good in a lot of situations. A lot of situations you need him to be good in. He has better field awareness probably than 15 or 20 quarterbacks out there.
I was out and I'm back in. You know what really helped him? They had a couple garbage time games.
Mm-hmm.
Where he got to just basically play garbage time for like a quarter and a half and just move the ball and get his feet wet. And it does seem like it helped him. It seems like he's a different guy. They have good receivers too. Like I think Watkins dropped a TD. They even could add more points than they would have today. But Hurts was locked in. I thought he was going to lose the job at this point. Maybe
give me any team that's running the ball well in late November, December, and I'm with you.
I think the Saints are favored in this game, but I don't think it's going to be by as much as I would have said 12 hours ago. I got Saints by 2 in Philly.
Oh, so who gets this? I said Philly because I'm such a big Philly fan. I don't know how as a Cowboys supporter. I said Philly by 3. It's Philly by 1.5. So I get it, right? Yeah.
Yeah, you get it. Philly by 1.5.
I think they're better than New Orleans. They're 4-6. Saints are 5-4.
Well, so wait a second. So
you're saying on a neutral field, this team is
let's talk this out. So the Saints are in Tennessee, and Tennessee's favored by 2.5. Tennessee's 8-2. The Eagles next week it's in Philly. They're favored by 1.5, and they're 3-6. How does that make sense?
That's a fair point, and probably Kamara could play. It's not bad.
Don't get it at all.
It's a good point. But you don't want to take the Saints, though, do you?
No. I've been good with Simeon for a long time. Two barely watchables. Panthers, Washington. This is probably Cam starting in Carolina.
Ron Rivera Bowl, right?
Ron Rivera. The Panthers fans are going to talk themselves into Cam all week, and then he's going to start grounding passes to their wide open receivers. And they'll be like, oh, listen, if they have the run heavy attack with him and McCaffrey, and if he's throwing like 12 times in this game, that actually might be good. If you're going to actually have to rely on him, good luck. Chase Young looks like he might be out for the year. They were like, if they did the whole thing where they feared the torn ACL, which usually means he tore his ACL. Mm-hmm. I think the Panthers are favored by 3.5.
I mean, McCaffrey outgained the entire Arizona offense, right, today?
Yeah, McCaffrey was really good today.
You get this. I said 4, and it's 2.5 only. Mm. That's a tough man. I'm trying to create a quarterback controversy here with PJ Walker getting them down. I wasn't paying full attention to that, but PJ Walker played a lot, didn't he? 22 for 29. Like, he would get them down the goal line, and then Cam celebrating, taking his helmet off, telling people how he's back. Right.
That was terrible when he got the 15-yard penalty. The classic Cam. That play was the entire Cam experience. Really nice run, touchdown. Then he took his helmet off and penalized this team.
Yeah. PJ should be like, screw you. I was the XFL MVP.
Yeah.
Bring it my way.
Raiders, Bengals. I'm saying it, Sal. I think this might be a loser leaves town match.
Well, this
whoever
is what
loses
I was talking
this
about.
Game doesn't feel good. The loser of this game would, the Vegas is 5-4, Cincy's 5-4.
Mm-hmm.
And both teams have the arrow pointing down.
It's you might in get Vegas. Into a, I mean, does the AFC, I know you said the NFC is going to have an 8-9 team. Did you say an 8-9 team at 7?
Not in the AFC. I think the NFC could.
You're going to get AFC a lot of 5-5s. Again, this is an example of what I was saying. AFC North playing the AFC West. It's going to happen all year for the next month.
The problem is you have Indy's 5-5, but they have some Tennessee Houston games left.
Yeah.
You know, Pittsburgh's 5-3-1. So they basically they'd have to go 8-8-1, which is conceivable. Maybe Pittsburgh 8-8-1 as our seventh seed.
All right, that makes sense. Yeah.
I have Vegas favored by 1.5 against Cincy.
I got to look at this. Did they move this? Vegas 1.5?
Yeah.
You're going to get it. It's a pick. Okay. I said 2.5. They threw their hands up. Like, you guys decide.
Gruden's,
that's a fun one.
Gruden's suing the NFL finally.
He's not letting it go.
He's like, you get 650,000 emails. You picked like 4 of mine. What the hell? Right. I'll take it. I send the check this way.
Yeah.
The poopfecta. We got 4. We got Browns, Lions. Lions are kind of red hot. Do you think Dan Campbell, like, one eye cried after the tie? Just one tear running down his cheek, not like full tears.
Someone said a tie is like biting your sister's kneecap, according to Dan Campbell. Someone said that on Twitter. I was off 5 points in this game.
I have Browns by 9.5.
That's pretty close. I said 15. Who the hell? You got to give 2 touchdowns to the Lions. They're that bad. If you have your starting quarterback, all right, I guess if it's Baker Mayfield, but don't you have to give 2 touchdowns to this team? Their only chance is to win on Thanksgiving. They have to lose this and then play the Bears. First game Thanksgiving. That'll be their win. It's fine.
I think the Lions play hard.
Yeah.
Don't you think when you watch them, like, they don't seem like an abomination.
But the guy that's taking snaps can't break 170 yards passing in a must win.
But it's like their handicap.
Yeah.
Oh, he's their handicap. But the whole team's playing hard. They're all trying.
Yeah, I'm not saying fire the coach, but I think 10 is. I mean.
Well, how do you feel about our worst? How do you feel about our worst record bet?
We're good. Oh, you think the tie hurts us?
I got a little worried about it.
I didn't even think about that.
Because what if they got to 115-1? Doesn't that could potentially be better?
So now we're not at least. So we had the dead heat rule, right? So if we tied with the Texans, we'd at least get half our money, right? Now we're not going to get that.
Because the Texans are 1-8.
Yeah.
Not a ton of hope left for them. That would be our competition. Yeah, that's the only one-win team.
That's it. Yeah, the Lions. Because the Jags have 2 now, right? They're 2-1 since the thumb. Or 2-2 since the thumb. Yeah.
The only thing is there's no prize this year with the number one pick.
Right.
So whether you're 1 or 2, I'm not positive it matters. Now, the other thing with the Texans, they're at Tennessee this week, but then they have home against the Jets. They got an at Jacksonville.
Mm-hmm.
And then at San Francisco, week 16, those are all winnable. Maybe even home against Seattle.
They could scratch out a win.
Yeah. I still like where we're sitting.
I'll take it. I'll take it with the Lions.
So Browns, what was the final line for that? Browns
Lions? It was 10. All right. We got to tease that with something, or money line parlay that with something.
All right. Titans. I'm not putting the Browns in anything after what I watched today.
Wow.
Titans, Texans in Tennessee.
I was off 3.5 points here.
I just think the Texans have to be double digits against anyone who's not a bottom five team. So I have Titans by 10.5.
See, I went the other way. I'm like, I just think the Texans have to be 2 touchdowns against every team. I said 14. It's 10.5. You're right.
Hmm.
You're now.
That catch
winning.
Up?
You're winning 6-5. How many more do we have? 2, 3, 4, 5 left. All right.
You know, the problem with the Titans is they can't really run the ball. So even if they're up big late, you could kind of claw back potentially. Dolphins Jets is a truly awful game. It is a home game for the Jets. It feels very Vegas zony to me. I have the Dolphins by 4.5 at the Jets.
I get this. I said 2.5. It's 3.
Okay.
What happens? Is Wilson back? No, he's still out, right?
Supposedly Wilson's back next week.
Okay. Yeah, I picked that blindly. I don't know.
The Jets fans are pretty bummed out. There's this meme going around of a Jets jersey and it's number 69 and it just the name is rebuilding. And that's like the Jets jersey you should buy if you're a Jets fan. It's just a constant rebuild over and over again. Just another rebuild.
That's nice. Team will raise money that way. Go towards the cap.
Well, the good news for the Jets is the Pats have been taking their lunch for 20 years and then the Jets took Wilson 12 and the Pats got Mac Jones 15. And
Jesus,
that's a tough one.
It's so not
fair. We both
took
rookie quarterbacks and they just took the wrong one.
It's almost not fair what goes on here. You should have to give Mac Jones back. Put him back in the pool.
Why?
Put him back
in
the
perfect.
Pool.
He's perfect. Evil Mac Jones. This is great. He's already did some evil things.
I know.
We were talking about it today because he's such a good guy. You watch the press conferences, but America is already turning against him. And it's like, this is how it goes, man. This is who you signed up for. This is
America
Cobra,
turned
you're
against
on Cobra
him
Kai.
When he approached the podium to accept the The walk became a meme. Remember the Mac Jones walk? Like, leave the guy alone. He was sitting there.
Right.
He thought he was going to be drafted 2 hours ago.
Last one is 49ers Jaguars.
Mm-hmm.
Trevor Lawrence. Peyton Manning was bad as a rookie, I guess it would be the Trevor Lawrence defense.
Yeah.
He's got a coach that probably won't be there in a year. He lost receivers. It's a bad team. But I did think he was going to be a little more exciting.
Yeah, sure.
I was told over and over again that he was the best college quarterback of the last 10 years.
You'd think like every 2-3 games he'd run one in from 25 yards and like spike it and get everybody excited. But it just kind of feels like he's going through the motions a lot of times.
Yeah, I thought there would be... I guess I was expecting more wow plays from him.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But it's been a weird year for quarterbacks. I mean, honestly, Dak's probably the best quarterback in the league right now.
Oh, thank you. It's nice of you to say.
If you're saying like what quarterback is just consistently playing the best, it has to be Dak.
Yeah, I think you're right.
I wouldn't have expected that before the year. I didn't even know if he was going to be able to play.
Come back.
And then you
the
think
year.
Like Trevor Lawrence, clearly not the best rookie. Mac has been way better than him.
No, and it's like last year what we were spoiled, right? We had Burrow, we had Herbert, we had Tua, who's still iffy, right? But you would say, oh wow, Herbert, Burrow, those guys are going to be in the MVP discussion 3 years from now until the
possibly
end of their careers.
Yeah.
I don't know, you'd say that about any of these guys except Mac Jones. It's fine if you want to throw him in there
for MVP or rookie of the year.
No, for I'm just saying, like, out of the batch of five, we had five quarterbacks this year. Like, you're not gonna say that about Trey Lance, right? Definitely not saying about Zach Wilson just yet. I don't know. I guess it's too early to analyze, but those are the only two you could actually pick on, right? Mac Jones.
What happens if in a press conference on Tuesday, somebody's like, hey, Bill, who is better in their first year as a starter, Tom Brady or Mac Jones? Like an obvious like baiting question. Ooh. That he would never answer.
Couldn't answer.
And Bill goes, you know what? I'm going to answer this one. I just think Mac's way better than Tom was. Like he just goes all in, goes for the Taylor Swift drive-by shooting on Tom Brady. Just like, you know, I just think Mac is so much more advanced than Tom was. Tom, you know, we really had to hide, could only do so much. And Mac, it's just the whole playbook's open and he just went on this 5-minute attack would be unbelievable.
The great thing is, and as we're previewing San Francisco at Jacksonville, is Kyle Shanahan never had to answer that question, right? Like, were you going to pick Mac Jones? What went wrong? You were going to pick Mac Jones. Now he's just never going to, he's going to lie anyway. By the way, Kyle Shanahan, I think you were in the, you were in the ground level of this, the Kyle Shanahan.
Oh, the winning percentage thing. Yeah. A lot of people are doing it.
Everybody, like he really, like everybody was all over him, not giving him a chance. And who knows what happens tomorrow night, but they made a line for this.
49ers -4.
Oh, man.
Against the Jaguars is my pick.
I said 3.5 and it's 6. You get that. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Wait, we're tied? We're tied, right?
Yes. Yep.
All right.
Sunday night.
No, one more.
What are we? What am
Arizona,
I missing?
Seattle. Did we do that?
All right. So Seahawks, Cardinals.
Yeah, Seahawks are home.
Not a Sunday night game.
It's a tough one. You don't know who's starting, but I
know this. If the Seahawks lose, I think they're a cross off.
I agree
because they're not good enough to even go 6-1 down the stretch.
I agree. That would be 3-7. Yeah.
I have Seahawks. Favored by 1 over the Cardinals.
That's exactly
what I don't
know
who's starting.
I'm glad we split it because it's a screwy game. Arizona by 2 is the number.
Mm. Okay.
I don't know what matters anymore. 12th man? I don't know.
Sunday night, Chargers-Steelers.
Mm-hmm.
How many Steelers fans do we think are at this game?
I was just going to say, maybe 3% Chargers fans. This is the most traveled fan base, right?
I actually might... I might leave LA. All these Pittsburgh people coming in. Gonna get out of here. Gonna take over the whole city. No, well, I really like the Pittsburgh people, except for Damashek. I think it's gonna be about as, like, if we're gonna rank most fans at a Chargers game, I think the Cowboys would be first, right?
I think
the Cowboys have the most fans here.
Oh, here. Okay.
I mean, here in LA.
This isn't a good game.
I think Steelers will be second.
I was at the Steelers-Cowboys Super Bowl in 95 in Glendale, and it was 70-30 Steelers. Now, the Cowboys fans may have just run out of money by then because they had been going to the Super Bowl like 3 of the last 5 years. But
That's what happened at the Pats-Eagles Super Bowl, remember?
Same thing,
there
right?
were no Pats fans. It was all Eagles fans. They were all fucking pissed by the second quarter.
But, you know, I have friends from other cities that so we know like Chargers, I'm not going to list names, but we know some people that work from the Chargers and they're like, hey, can I get tickets? I'm a Steelers fan. I'm a Rams fan. Not a Rams fan. I'm a Vikings fan. All these teams that play the Chargers and they're like, my boss doesn't want me to give them out to, you know,
right.
fans. And they're like, whoa, what are you talking about? I'm buddies with you. It's like, yeah, this isn't going to fix itself. The Chargers going to have to, they have to kind of step up. It's not, you can't just say, yeah, in 10 years, this will write itself. It's like, no. Teams are going to travel, and this is going to be a disgraceful representation.
They need to move to another city.
You think already?
I just think it's never going to happen.
Yeah.
In the same way, like the Clippers have a way better chance for it to happen,
mm-hmm.
but it's not going to happen for them either. And
what do you do if you're a player? Like, you can't yell at the fans that showed up because they showed up, the Chargers fans, right?
So yeah.
Like, I mean, Philip Rivers, I could see maybe saying something if he was still around, but can't say, hey, come to our freaking games. Where are you people? Stop selling our tickets.
Well, all the San Diego people kind of turned on the team. Yeah, and they ditched them.
I guess so.
I have Chargers by... we get Ben next week, right? I just want to make sure. I think we do. I have Chargers by 2.5 against the Steelers.
Oh! We tie. I said 4.5. It's 3.5.
Mm.
Oh, son of a bitch. You got me here because I went way low. I went, well, I already give it up.
Now Bucks Giants?
On the fly. Yeah. I was off on this.
It's in Tampa. I'm going to just guess Bucks 10.5.
You get it. You win the week. I said 9.5. It's 12.
Mm.
Okay. So who screws us? Tennessee, Houston, Tampa, Giants. Cleveland, Detroit. I know you're not taking Cleveland, but they're not losing that game.
I might not gamble next week.
I didn't want to.
I just have no feel for. I have no feel for any of this stuff. It just seems like it's like a snow globe season. I think the COVID combined with the 17-week season, I think it's like completely screwed up the rhythm of everything. There's no rhythm to any of this anymore.
What do you mean? Someone else said this to me about the 17-week. We haven't even got there yet. Like, when it's week 18, we can
just feels mentally, it feels longer. I'm even thinking this with fantasy.
Yeah.
It just feels like with 14 weeks of fantasy instead of 13, it just feels like a lot.
I think the COVID's a real thing, unfortunately. I really it is. I think that the vaccinations, you know, the effectiveness is dwindling at a bad time when we're coming up in the winter. Son of a bitch. We're so close.
So just get depressed.
Don't get it, Dak. I mean, honest, like Aaron Rodgers, like he got the best deal. I don't think he's tested now for another 60 days or something.
Is that true?
I think so. I'm pretty sure he's home free.
All right. Let's
you
let's
win. 5-4. You're up 5-4-2 after.
You know what though? There are no losers today because we're headed toward a Pats Bucks Super Bowl. FanDuel's gonna try to boost this for
Pats, us. No. Pats Cowboys.
I mean Pats Cowboys. My bad. We're headed for a Pats Cowboys Super Bowl. There are no losers on this podcast.
All right.
And right now, I bet 100 to win 7,800 on FanDuel, but we're going to get them to boost that.
I like it.
They should boost that to, what, 90 to 1?
Yeah, at least 90. Right?
Yeah, 90 to 1.
Do it for us.
Come on, FanDuel. It's the Bill and Sal Super Bowl. In LA, they're coming to us, our two teams. Yeah. This could actually happen.
Also, it's not going to happen. You're going to make money off of it. So just boost it.
All right, it's time for Parent Corner. Today's Parent Corner is brought to you by CarMax. From your order at the coffee shop to the apps on your home screen, we live in a customizable world. And thanks to CarMax, the same is now true for car shopping. Buy online at CarMax.com with home delivery in select markets or compare your favorite cars up close and personal on the lot. Or choose the best of both worlds to create the perfect blend of online and on-the-lot car shopping. Learn more at CarMax.com. CarMax, car buying reimagined. All right, Sal, you're up.
All right, well, I got real quick, my oldest son playing varsity football. I'm jealous of you because you have a lot to look forward to here with this. They're in the second, they're in the third round of the playoffs. They're in the semifinals. So in Southern California, they do it a crazy way. There's like 192 playoff teams. There's like 600 schools. So let's say a third of them make the playoffs. And then they put them in a pool in divisions, in like 12 divisions. And we're in division seven, 16 teams, and it's down to the final four. And it's very freaking exciting. And, you know, we're playing a Catholic school from Downey, like an hour away. Mm. That averages like 54 points a week. But we're not supposed to be winning any of these games. And my son's getting sacks and tackles. And it's the best. It's the best in the world. Anyway, I'll let that go. Just good luck to Miracos this week. But my youngest one, my seven-year-old, says to me this morning, he says, "Dad, why is the number 69 so funny?" And I was like, oh, Jesus Christ.
Oh, my God.
Here we go. 7 years old. I'm like, what? What are you talking about? I have to play dumb now. I'm like, what? Why would you even say that? He's like, no, because there's this group on YouTube. I'm like, fucking course there's a group on YouTube. I was like, then, you know, they're talking about levels in 69, and it's and it's Mr. Beast. I'm like, ah, Mr. Beast. He's like, yeah, and it's funny. And he's like, I said, well, don't worry about it. I don't know. It's probably just a private joke. Who knows what they're laughing at? He's like, yeah, because I asked Siri too. And I was like, oh, what did Siri say about this? And he's like, I don't know. It was confusing. So then I asked Siri, not around him. And by the way, this Mr. Beast is like, he counts to like 10,000, you know? And like, I'm like, maybe 69 was one of the funny numbers. But I asked Siri, and Siri said, here's what I found out about why the number 69 is funny. When two people are in love and they're in a rush, Siri said, the face of a sign for Pisces in astrology is 69, has a very suggestive appearance. No wonder it's a cross-gender symbol for a sign of lovers' affection to take on mutual oral sex. I was like, all right, there's no way my kid understands that. But What is my answer from age 7 to 13 on why the number 69 is funny?
Well, neither of your other sons asked you this question.
No, they learned on the street like they should have.
On the street?
Yeah. I don't want to answer that question. It's a ridiculous question.
I think you should you're just going to have to lie. You're going to have to make up a story about there was this TV show from way back when, and the character was a goofball and he wore number 69, and that's why it's funny.
All right, I guess so.
Then he'll know 6 years from now, he'll know you're a liar.
That's fine. I'll take that. I definitely don't want a 7-year-old going around telling everybody about his friends. Like, not that I would break it to him, but I don't want him finding out a weird way either.
eventually these kids just look shit up and they find out.
I think it's so easy to find stuff out now compared to what we had.
Right.
We actually had to get answers from human beings.
Yeah, right. You get slapped in the mouth. Now it's in a Taylor Swift song. Should write about that?
I know it all too well. Parent Corner. There's like six I wish I could tell,
nice,
but I'm not going
all.
To. Nah, I'm not going to do them. It's really...
Do all 69.
Parent Corner gets really tough. I'll say this, because I think this is a big picture one people could relate to. So my son has to go to high school next year. He's got to switch schools. He's looking at a couple of schools, one of which is an all-boys school. And back in our day, you go to an all-boys school and the question's always like, how are you going to be around the opposite sex? Like, how are you going to see people? There are going to be dances. Like, how do you interact?
Right.
I went to an all-boys high school, but we had a sister school that we shared classes with. Like, we interacted with them, even though it was boys, girls. It really wasn't. We were interspersed. There's other ones where it's like, you're a boys' school, and there's the girls' school, you know, you might see just for, like, three dances a year. So my instinct was, like, probably not a great fit for him, the boys' school. Like, my son likes, you know, likes to be around the ladies. Come to find out, could it matter less in this day and age? Because in the social media era, they know everyone from every school. And he knows, and we were talking about it, and he's got friends in like eight schools in LA, and you meet people and you're meeting people constantly. And it like doesn't even matter anymore whether it's all boys, all girls, co-ed, because you're just going to have people in your life from whatever school.
And yeah, they're in your pocket. All your friends are in your pocket on a phone.
Yeah. And he's like, he made all these friends from one school recently. I'm like, how'd you meet them? He's like, at the mall. And now I have these five new friends. So it just made me think how insanely different it is from when we were in high school and how herd-like it was. You're in your high school and it's just the people you're with. And then you go home and you see your parents and you watch TV and you read some books and that's all the interaction. Now it's like you have this whole wide open world, not just with the universe, but even with people your own age, where it's like, does it really even matter where you go to high school? From a friend standpoint, you make friends anywhere.
No.
I think it's bizarre.
It doesn't matter. It's not. And then like in the 50s, School Ties? I love the movie School Ties, but that's right. That was that, like you said, the one big dance, and that's where you had to meet somebody.
It's like a huge night. You're going to run into it. Like,
couldn't dance close to anybody. Yeah, right.
Like my daughter and your son, who live almost an hour apart.
Right.
But if she was in Manhattan Beach, she could just DM Archie and be like, hey, let's go get coffee. And all of a sudden they're getting coffee together. And it's like, there's no way.
Never happened.
My big picture point is I'm really jealous of, in a lot of ways, like the stuff they always talk about technology, how great this is, how terrible it is for our kids. And oh my God, it's so bad. And life is so simpler. There's some stuff where it's definitely not more terrible for our kids, like 2021. Like there's some like real advantages. I think one of them is just your friend ceiling is just so different.
Right.
Assuming you're a social person.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, the other way is like you just in your room and you're online all day and you never want to meet anybody or all your friends are online. I don't know.
That's a different beast. But yeah, so is he up for going to an all boys or you've not even gotten this far?
It's one of the candidates, but I don't think it really matters ultimately because it's not like, you know, it doesn't have kind of the stigma that I feel like it used to where it's like, oh, all boys, just around boys.
Right.
Where are the girls?
I'm with you. No, the kids have it great. Don't kid
kids
yourself.
Are great. That's I'm really fine. Jealous of the kids. They get all this music and movies and TV shows at their disposal and they can interact on Snapchat and now TikTok, they could just watch people do dumb dances. They can analyze 10-minute Taylor Swift songs.
Unlimited
music.
We had
Huey Lewis and the Karate Kid.
Oh, I can't imagine eating anything more than that. Yeah, and they got food. They could order food in 8 seconds off their phone. They could learn about 69ing and in the touch of a button.
It's amazing stuff. Listen to this podcast. Today's Parent Corner is brought to you by CarMax. CarMax doesn't just have the car for you. They have the car buying experience for you. Browse online from anywhere or head to the lot and compare your favorite cars up close and personal or choose both and create the shopping experience that works best for you. Plus, They've got you covered with a 30-day money-back guarantee up to 1,500 miles. Learn more at CarMax.com. CarMax, car buying reimagined. Sal, what else do we have to hit? Everything. The Warriors finally lost, but I still think they win the West.
That was good. You didn't. You can't bet MVP, but I'm proud of myself for getting in on that.
Who'd Steph. You do? Curry,
10-1. Now he's +270. I love it. It'll change 5 times by the end of the year, but I love it for now.
Can I tell you who I think might actually win the MVP?
Who?
I think Curry's a great bet. Giannis looks unbelievable this season, and his team.
Aren't they losing some games they should win? They lost tonight, didn't they? Yeah.
No, it's a very explainable slow start, though. They've never had all their guys. They're going to go on a run where they win like 19 of 20. But Giannis, I just think Giannis and Durant are the guys that have really jumped out this year just from being
right,
like just day-to-day incredible. Durant, all these rules, everybody complaining about the rules and and Durant's just like, whatever, I'll use whatever rules you want. I'm still getting 35.
Mm-hmm.
And
plus 850 is a nice number this time of year for him.
For Durant or Giannis?
No, for Giannis.
Yeah, I think he's the best player in the league. Hmm. Now, Curry, if it becomes a narrative award and a lot of it is about, you know, they run away with a one seed. He's such a special player. It's like, you know who's underrated? Steph Curry. He's actually an underrated super duper star. And the culture that he sets in and the chemistry of this team, and the unselfishness, it all stems from him. He's fantastic. The narrative could win. But with Giannis, like, if it's just like, who's the best player? I think he has the best.
You know
chance.
What's interesting? You said like NFL MVP, they should ask Vegas. All right, who's favored? Who's favored? And that's who should kind of get it. They're on top of, or FanDuel, they're on top of who's getting it. I almost feel like NBA, they should do a study on this. Who gets the most highlights? Like, wouldn't you say, like, Giannis got 14 seconds per SportsCenter.
Right.
Curry got 26 seconds. Wouldn't you love to see that? I mean, in our heads, we probably know what it is, but wouldn't you love to see like that?
I wonder what's social, too. I'd love to know, like, who drives the most social awareness.
Positive. Yeah. Like, LaMelo barely gets anything negative said about it. Right.
I know, and he doesn't guard anybody. He plays zero defense, but nobody cares.
There you go. That's the one negative thing someone's finally said. Yeah.
Well, and then you have, Embiid, you just start crossing off MVP candidates, right? Harden, cross off. Embiid, he'll probably play 60 games like he always does.
Right.
You go on down the line. Giannis is he's just unbelievable.
Yeah, I was looking for
I actually think he's better than he's ever
LeBron's
been.
LeBron's out. Paul George is out. Butler's probably out, right?
Paul George isn't out, I don't think. I think he has to be included. Yeah, I think so, because he's done the most with less. Like, he's kept them. Right. I talked about it on my pod on Thursday. His team's not very good, and he's kind of single-handedly kept them as a top five
team. Some of the guys who are typically in the race are now, like Harden, Davis, Lillard.
Trae Young.
Yeah. They're kind of out now.
Jokic is the other one that I think has to be taken seriously. But that team just doesn't seem like, without Murray, I think the supporting cast is just so weak. Luka has the same thing, but Luka also didn't show up for the season in shape. And I haven't loved what I've seen from him.
Listen,
I would say Giannis or Curry.
Do yourself a favor. Start watching college now and start watching Gonzaga. And they're damn good. They won yesterday.
So you like Chet?
I love Chet Holmgren. That's my guy. 20. He hasn't moved. He's 20-1, but he's so much fun to watch. His numbers are ridiculous.
He's 20-1 for the Wooden?
20-1 for the Wooden. Now, Drew Timmy had 37 points last night. He looks like he's unstoppable for Gonzaga, but he's +450. But Holmgren, Chet's a fun bet.
Well, you know my rule. I don't watch college until football's over.
Why do? Yeah.
I can only do two sports.
You could follow, Kyle. You could figure it out.
Well, I do want to see Paolo, because Jonathan Sharks was on this podcast Thursday and was saying how he's basically like a 6'10 and a half Carmelo with his game. I'm like, what if that sounds amazing? He's to watch this person.
And they stole him from Kentucky too, which made that loss even harder to take.
Wow, you're really into the college hoops this year.
Yeah. You gotta watch it all, man. You gotta watch it
all.
You
used to call me the NBA hole. Now you have thoughts on Chet Holmgren.
I'm the NCAA hole. Yeah. You know what? I free up 30, 40 hours not giving a shit about Taylor Swift, and here I am. I get to watch some basketball games.
Well, the other thing, we're not going to have a baseball season. They're just going to have this lockout for 6 months, so we might as well have college basketball.
Yeah.
I don't even want to think about that.
At least the Lindor contract won't kick in.
Right. We still have to pay Bonilla during the lockout.
Yeah.
I think we do. Yeah.
Happy belated birthday to our cousin.
Yeah.
And tell me where you got a plug.
What do we have? ExtraPoints.com. All your sports gambling needs are there. Powered by FanDuel. Go to the Extra Points podcast. We're going to give Monday night winners. Hey, Harry picked Dolphins to score first touchdown Thursday night. 39-1, but didn't bet it.
Dolphins perfect. D?
Dolphins D. And but you should probably get more if the touchdown doesn't come to like the third quarter. But didn't bet it. Gave it out. Loved it. Didn't bet it. So that's that. Thursday
would
night
you describe
Fox Bet Live. All that stuff.
Oh, you have another streak going.
I got another streak. I'm going to try to lose 11 in a row. I think I can get there. You should pay me to not bet your Patriots, because that's what it's looking like.
No, take the pets. I'm not scared of your curse. Yeah. Is Harry up or down this season?
Up or down? He's down every season. What do you mean?
I thought he was on social. He was having like kind of a hot streak there for a little bit.
He was. They pick one game a day, and he was 15-75 over the summer. That's impossible. Come on.
15-75
is a miracle.
I feel like when he shines the most is when tennis and golf tournaments are happening at the same time, which is a time we're about to hit right now, right?
That's true.
This is when we have weird golf tournaments, weird locations, and weird tennis tournaments on weird surfaces.
He dominates Korean soccer. I'm not going to get in his way there. That's for sure.
I don't blame you. All right, cuz, as always, good job by you.
Good job by you, buddy.
All right, that's it for the podcast. Thanks to our producer, Kyle Creighton. Don't forget me on the Prestige TV pod talking Curb Your Enthusiasm with House. Don't forget about Plain English with Derek Thompson launching this week. Don't forget about every single album, which is already up. Nathan and Nora breaking down Red Taylor's version. And then a new rewatchable is coming on Monday night. A Will Smith movie. I will not tell you which one. See you on this feed on Tuesday. Waste some